Okay, let me drop the mic. And we'll start the service here in a little bit. And hopefully everybody brought their communion bread and grape juice and all that good stuff that you're going to need here in a moment. And it's always like it is on a communion Sabbath, you know. I guess some people just don't feel... Well, see, it's understandable if you have sinned against somebody and you haven't made it right, you can't take communion. And if you're not baptized, you can't take communion. And if you're an open sin, you can't take communion. It's that kind of stuff, you know. So anyway, let me drop the mic, and then you'll be hearing some music here in a moment.
Sabbath blessing, everyone. Can you all hear us?
Sabbath blessing, everyone.
Together with God, wonderful.
Amen. That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing. If we can please kneel, we'll start with prayer. Thank you for the hedge of angels that you have about all those we love, all those that are on the prayer list, all those that we're mentioning in the text chat, even during the children's study. Thank you always, Father, for blessing us and keeping us exactly where we need to be. And thank you for forgiving us when we fall short. Thank you for the promises that are in your word and for understanding that the only way that we can embrace those promises is to embrace your Son as Savior. And so thank you for blessing us again on this Sabbath day, especially during this hour with our, we're going to be having communion here in a few moments. And we thank you for blessing us with that ability to be able to gather even closer to you a few Sabbaths out of the year. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Savior, and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. All right, so before doing the actual communion, I wanted to share a few things. I was in prayer about this at the beginning of the week and didn't quite know what the Lord wanted me to share, because the last time we did this differently, the last communion, where the Lord gave me, I think it was John chapter 3, I don't know, or it could have been Hebrews or something. I don't know why I keep thinking of Hebrews. But this time I was just going to share some of the things that are actually happening in the world so as to prayerfully bless those that are riding the fence, that don't think they need to get ready, with a realization that we're a lot closer to the end than anybody, even the people of God, have realized as to what's going on out here. Well, first of all, we all know about all the false preachers, the false prophets, and the false Christs that go out there for money. I mean, we got prosperity preachers in just about every church now. They're always asking for money. They're always, you know, passing out the plate or literally asking for donations during sermons and stuff, and it's just unreal. Just like the prophecy said, you know, preachers of filthy lucre. And the many false prophets that Jesus predicted about, and this includes the Seventh-day Adventist Church now, is, you know, like one of the things about being a prophet, it's not always knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, that's part of it, yeah. But most prophets are going to know how to define Scripture and explain that which is the will of God. And as a matter of fact, if it wasn't for the prophets declaring what God's will was, we would only have 5 books of the Bible, you know, the Torah that Moses was called to pen. But as time went on, these men and women of God, you know, we got the book of Ruth, you know, Esther and whatnot, but you've got people that stepped forward and declared that the Lord had told them that this should be this way or this should be that way or whatever the case may be. And the thing with that is, Isaiah 8:20 is clear. It says, to the law and the testimony, they speak not according to this word, is because there's no light in them. And so what the people did back then was to take that which the prophet declared as something that the Lord said they must be doing now or stop doing, and if it would back up old light, because new light never contradicts old light, ever. We're not Muslims. We're that, you know, like Muslims say, well, if we're telling you to do something now and the Quran says that you shouldn't be doing that, you know, 300 years ago, you have to ignore the older verses for the newer ones. Why? Because lies keep hitting the ground. They got to keep making new lies, right? And the Quran is written by the popes in Rome, and so it's man-made. But the Bible's not like that. The truth remains the same all the way throughout. And so if the prophet declares something that they say, you know, God said do this or God said do that, and it backs up with the old light, then it's considered inspired Scripture, and it's put into the Bible, and bam, now we got 66 books, just like the sanctuary said. If you look at they call it some, you know, the menorah, or, you know, the candlelight, the light in the holy place, not the most holy, but in the holy place, there's that light. 66 items on the light. Why? Because there's 66 books in the Bible. And so when they go out there, and this is the reason Jesus called them many false prophets, when they go out there and say that God changed the Sabbath from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week, well, the thing to do then is to go into the Bible and make sure that that new light that they're giving doesn't contradict the old light. But you can look in Genesis to Revelation. There's not a single Bible verse that said God was going to change it. In fact, he said he was going to keep it the seventh day. Even after the cross of Christ, all Ten Commandments are right there in the New Testament. And so that means if they're saying something that God didn't say, they're a false prophet. And that's why there's many false prophets. They're all Sunday keepers. So we've already seen that prophecy fulfilled. Then you got homosexuality. Jesus said it'll be just like it was in Noah's day. He said they were given in marriage, or no, they were marrying wives and then given in marriage in Luke chapter 17, right? Why would he repeat that? Well, because they're marrying wives and then they're given in marriage in other ways, which means homosexual marriage. When homosexual marriage became legalized in Noah's day, that's when the Lord moved upon Noah and told him to build that ark. That was the last straw. And that's why these demon-possessed people out there that declare themselves homosexuals carry the rainbow. Because the demons that were possessing the people in Noah's day are still alive. And they're in those homosexuals today. And they're telling them to push forth a rainbow as a mockery unto God. Because what happened after the flood ended? God put the rainbow in the cloud as a reminder never to use the flood again. So they're mocking them. And they don't even know it. And now you've got hundreds and hundreds. Now maybe it's probably going to be in the thousands by now once the word gets out that these teenagers are starting to do this. The public school system, and I've got a page on the website all about this, about how they are brainwashing the children into everything from atheism to homosexuality. A lot of these kids are coming back in their later teens saying they want their original sex back. Because they were conned by their teachers into saying, oh, I have to decide what my sexuality is. Hey, look, just get in front of a mirror before you take a shower. That tells you what your sex is. All this other stuff that says, oh, they were born homosexual. No, they weren't. God doesn't make mistakes. It doesn't happen. In fact, they've got identical twins out there with the exact same DNA. One's homosexual, one's not. Well, one's demon-possessed, one's not. And then the earthquakes. Oh, man, the earthquakes. A lot of the young people think, well, that's just the norm. It's always been like that. No, it hasn't. The earthquakes didn't get like this until the end times began. There are more earthquakes now per week than there were for the last 6,000 years. Brother Daniel likes to keep record of these, and he shares them in the blog, you know, the SDR forum blog. And every week he lets us know how many earthquakes hit this week. The largest number was a little over 12,900 quakes in 1 week. And people still don't think Jesus is coming back. Or how about people that forsake God's law? That's why the sanctuary service at this point, the study that we're doing, is about God's law. You know, I could share a sermon on this prophesied event alone. I mean, millions of pastors declare God's laws about us. They say sexual promiscuity is normalized. You know, everything from transgenderism to just plain fornication. It's no big deal. Adultery is promoted via online websites now. That used to be illegal. Adultery, literally, and homosexuality used to be illegal. But we're in the end times. It was illegal when I was a kid. Women can now, and this just happened, just last week, in six states in our union, women can legally step outside whenever they want, topless. Marijuana is now legalized. And not only is homosexuality normalized, homosexuality is now legalized, as well as they've been given the right to marry, just as it happened in Noah's day. And that's why Jesus said it's going to be like it was in Noah's day before it ends. And that is one of the final prophecies, homosexual marriage being legalized. Or how about the love of many waxing cold? Girls are killing their babies in abortion clinics because they don't want to get stretch marks, or they don't want to lose their boyfriends. People are killing their parents in doctor-assisted suicide to cut down on the bills so as to not take away their inheritance. They don't love grandma or grandpa anymore. They love the money that they got in the bank account. And if grandma and grandpa linger around for a couple of more weeks, we ain't getting a dime, so let's kill them off. And that's how it is. Babies can now be born and legally killed by their parents if they decide they don't want the kid. They actually did a survey once. This one guy, just out of a joke, went into these college campuses and asked the teenagers there, or the young adults. He made a joke and says, yeah, they passed a law that says you can kill your child all the way up to the age of 5 if you feel like the kid, okay, I've had enough of this kid, I'm done with it, we can just kill him. Let's kill him. And then they says they're thinking about passing a law to say it's okay up to the age of 5. The overwhelming majority of the people on that college campus said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Can you believe that? The love of many is wax cold. Christian persecution, that's another prophecy that was supposed to happen before Jesus gets here. 200,000 Christians are killed every year now. That's one every 2.5 minutes. And they're only killed for their faith. Just because they're Christians. Not because they're beating anybody up. Not because they're selling dope or doing anything bad. It's just because they're Christians. But the media hides that. It's actually twice that. I had no doubt in my mind it's actually twice that, because how could it not be when the Vatican killed 400,000 a year during the 1,260-year reign of 538 AD to 1798 AD? They didn't have the technology we have today. And animals of all sorts are dying. I mean, like I was saying earlier about my strange wildlife deaths page, I had to stop updating it because I couldn't keep track. I mean, it's happening in every country, but it's overwhelmingly crazy in the United States of America. In some states of America, in all the states it's happening, but in some of the states in America, it's these animals, insects, birds, and fish are dying so rapidly that it's worse in that state than it is in countries, all these countries around the world, in some countries combined. This nation is being judged because of what it's doing, just like the prophecy said. It's the lamb. It started out as a lamb horn beast, and now it's the second beast of Revelation. Another prophecy is men are going to believe lies over Scripture. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 is the norm for today. Most people believe in creeds, right down to saying that you got to remove verses like 1 John 5:7. Take that out, because in that passage it says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Take it out. Why? Well, because they believe Trinity. They say Jesus isn't a God and the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, just like the Vatican does with their Trinity doctrine. And just the other day the Pope declared Jesus isn't a God to solidify their stance. In perilous times, there's another prophecy. Society's running amok. You got everything from violent sports to violent movies, violent music, violent video games, and so what, they're so surprised they got mass killings and school shootings. Nations are in distress all over the place. Need I mention China and Syria? And there's another one. Brother Daniel sent me an article yesterday about, I can't remember the name of the country, but something you hadn't heard from in years and decades, and they're having riots. They're all having riots. Why? Because they don't like the idea that their constitutions have been changed to reflect that which the Pope demands. And so the people are rebelling. But that kind of stuff won't end up in the news. They'll just, you know, they'll hide it, they'll put it under the rug. And what about disease and famine? That was prophesied to be prevalent. And slavery. There are more slaves on the planet now than there were back in the infancy of this nation of America. The numbers are out there, and most of them are just, you know, sexual slaves, but there's, yeah. Look at the child labor in some countries. They're still doing it. They're just hiding it now. Like people who said, oh, I'm not going to buy that product because there's children in the Korean product. So they acted like they stopped doing it, but they never stopped doing it. And then another prophecy is there's going to be a cold religious system in denying God's power that forms an image to the beast, the 501c3. You cannot get a 501c3 in America, or any other nation for that matter. They got different titles for it, and I think in Canada it's a T, and a 1 or a 4 or something in there. But all the nations do this. Even Uganda, one of the preachers was asking me about it in his state or her country. In other words, you got to join your church with the state in order to get tax-free status. And because their preachers are filthy lucre, they want to do that. But we aren't. We don't even ask for donations. We have no 501c3. But every SDA pastor does. Some of them have three, like Doug Batchelor. And that's the norm. The church and state, I mean, that is one of the most basic prophecies ever been written in Scripture about exposing who Antichrist is. He'll have a church that is a church and a state combined. The Vatican is not just a Roman Catholic church. It's Vatican City. It's a sovereign state since 1929 when Mussolini and Gasparri signed that treaty, if you want to call it. Because of what happened in 1798 when Berthier went in under orders of Napoleon and destroyed the Pope. And the Pope died in exile in the exact year that the prophet Daniel said he would. 1,260 years to the day. But people still don't believe in Bible prophecy. To the point, some people even think that Noah's flood has never happened. Even though there's the great oceanic ridge all the way around the planet where the water came out, and there's seashells on every mountaintop. And my very first track, when the Lord asked me and moved me to go into the ministry before I even went full-time, I was still working a 9-to-5 back then, and he asked me to do tracks. My very first track, and I just found it, praise God, because I misplaced it. I only got one left. It was all about Noah's Ark and how there's photos. Now there's videos of Noah's Ark still sitting on Mount Ararat. Only half of it. The other half slid down when there was an earthquake. And when the earthquake fell, when it caused it to fall, it took out a monastery and covered the monastery in acres of earth. So those monks are still in there. Well, 1,000 years, because very seriously that they're going to get a better resurrection from them being a monk. But it's just amazing how common sense. And then you got the seducing spirits that are going to cause an increase in occult activity. I used to mess with this when I was a teenager. Everything from face changing to telekinetics. And manifestations, too. And now the Vatican has sanctioned Harry Potter and literally declared in writing that he's a Christ-like character. Why? Well, because the Vatican is a satanic worshiping cult. I mean, I'm not saying the Catholic people are. They don't know what their leaders are doing. But they've been caught. Because one of the final prophecies in 2 Thessalonians, it says that we're going to know who the man of sin is, and now we do. Caught them red-handed, right down to the point where they've got the Vatican audience hall built right next to the Vatican, shaped like the head of a serpent, and when you go in there, the Vatican, the Pope stands in the mouth as he speaks to you. And not only is it a mouth, it's got two fangs that hold up the roof. He stands in between the two fangs, and he stands on the rug, which is the tongue coming out. And then you got this big scaled, this architectural design that looks like a serpent's head over his head. And then you got the two oval eyes on either side that look like snake eyes. And it's just, I did videos on it. In other words, he's speaking for Satan, and he's making it obvious. And the Fatima 2000 Congress, they got caught having a satanic mass for Satan in the Vatican. And 98% of the Vatican is, in fact, homosexual, just like the prophet Daniel said in Daniel chapter 11. They will not have a desire for women. And then peace and safety prophecy. The government media, controlled media, has been holding back all sorts of important stories, from the animals, birds, and fish, and insects dying, to certain prophetic events happening, to where they can't explain. I mean, not only are all the governments declaring it's climate change that's happening and not that it's actually the end time signs of Christ's return, the Vatican stated years ago in writing that Jesus was not coming anytime soon so as to calm the masses who thought the signs of the end were happening. Plus, the Seventh-day Adventist president, who happens to be the son of the same Seventh-day Adventist president that declared the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a Catholic organization, he said there's nothing in the pipeline regarding the soon-coming Sunday laws, even though we have literally thousands of articles proving he lied. But the SDA people not only stop reading their Bibles and Spirit of Prophecy, they don't even check into what their leaders are doing, just like the Catholics. And when you try to warn them, just like the Catholics, they'll declare you a Seventh-day Adventist basher. Because the love of many have waxed cold even there. And then another prophecy is the New World Order is going to be formed. The powers that be have announced they want a New World Order by 2030. Do you know what that means? Doug Batchelor will tell you that the one world government starts at the beginning of the plagues, but the Bible will tell you it happens at the end. So if the New World Order happens at the end of the plagues, how long do the plagues last? Well, the Bible says they fall within a day, right? And a day equals a year. So if they get their wish and they get their one world government by 2030, Jesus comes back in that year. I'm not setting any dates because no one knows if they're going to be able to get it done by 2030. And we also know how Satan lies to keep the people on the couch. What if they can actually get it done by 2025? And then the people think, oh, I got 10 years to kick back and worry about the loud cry. No, you better get off that couch now. This is why the Lord would have me share what I'm sharing today. If you don't get off the couch now, you might never get off that couch. Some of your laws are going to be enforced. You got that little girl, Greta, who's out there making the 666 hand sign on camera, showing her devotion to the Pope, getting millions of people all around the world because she's been puffed up by the media that's controlled by Rome. Because when I was a kid, there were thousands of different companies that owned television stations. Now, six. That's it. That's how much control they have now. Only six companies own. I actually did a video on this. There's only six companies that own all that you see on TV. If you actually still have a TV in your home, which I wouldn't think is nice. And so she's gathering the people. Because there's millions of people protesting. We got to do something about climate change. Why? Well, you remember that Presbyterian minister, what he said during that Christmas tsunami of 2004, I think it was. I think I said 2006 last night. But he said that the people, 300,000 people died in that tsunami because they weren't going to church on Sunday. And that was prophesied that he would say that, just like they're all going to be saying it soon. That if we don't keep Sunday holy, these disasters are going to get worse. Which, in fact, will make them even worse because they're denying the law of God for the law of man, which is a Sunday Sabbath. There is no law of God that says that Sunday is the Sabbath. And then the rich are heaping their treasure for the last days. We got people out there that are literally trillionaires. These are the guys that aren't on the top 10 list. They're not going to tell you. They don't care if you know they got trillions. Bill Gates, he's over $50 billion. He can't spend all that, even if he makes himself eternal with these new technologies that are trying to come up where they'll transfer the human mind into an artificial intelligence. Like, that's really going to work. You know, it's not going to work. But that's where they're heading. They're trying to do to make mankind eternal. And then one of the last things that the Lord revealed that I should share. I didn't share this the one time that I did a sermon series called We Are Very Near the End. But a brother in the faith sent me a telescope some years ago because of we need to keep an eye on the Orion Nebula, for those of you that understand what that is, just by studying the book of Job. And you'll also understand that the Vatican has an observatory in the United States, I think it's in Arizona, called Lucifer, or a telescope called Lucifer, that they are also pointing at the Orion Nebula. Why? Because Satan doesn't know the day or the hour either. He wants to keep an eye on what's going on in that nebula because he knows the city of New Jerusalem's in there, just like Job said, out of the sides of the north. That telescope came at perfect timing, even though it's kind of hard and it's next to impossible to see anything with it because, you know, Orion Nebula is pretty far away. But I did enough research to find out that, and I've got some of this stuff, you know, put on the website. And the last update I did was on April 10th, 2017, that there was a cloud coming out of that nebula. What did Jesus tell those Pharisees? You'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, didn't he? The scientists can't understand what's going on. They're saying that that cloud wasn't there before. We can see through it so far, but there is something that's coming out of that nebula. If you don't get your spiritual act together, brothers and sisters, and I'm talking, I mean, there's a lot of strong Christians in here who know exactly what I'm talking about, and you're at the ready. You're the Minutemen. You're slated to be part of the Gideon band. You won't put your weapons down when you get that drink of water, like Gideon's men. But some of you, you know, you're sitting back. You got to reconsider. There's not a lot of time left. And you're going to be held accountable for bearing your talents. And no, I'm not saying this to ask you for money, because I never ask for money, ever. You need to do the work, too, or help those that are doing it. And you can help them with your time, even if you don't have money. It's not about the money. We're going to be walking on streets of gold soon enough. Money down here is just an unnecessary evil. useless, in fact, as far as I'm concerned. It's monopoly money. If the people, you know, like if the tax man wants it, take it. Makes your day, just lightens my wallet. It's easier to walk. Who cares? I don't need it. I don't desire it. You know, I have what I need. I live a humble life. So with that said, let's contemplate this a little more. Our walks with Christ. Let's take stock in ourselves more often than we are. Daily instead of weekly or monthly. Let's read our Bibles every single solitary day. Let's do as the patriarchs and prophets of old did, pray morning, midday, and evening. Take time off. I did it with a 9-to-5 job. You can do it. You know, I mean, how many of us go to the bathroom on a 9-to-5 job? You know, stay in that bathroom, you know, a couple of minutes extra. Talk to your God. Talk to your Father. Ask Him for help throughout the day. Not a lot of time left. So anyway, that being said, we're going to break now for about 15 minutes. We got some. Please put up some music from the Seventh-day Remnant people. He asked us to do so when he put an end to the feast days. And he came up with a new way to acknowledge Him and His mission on Calvary. And so, I'm going to drop the mic, and then if somebody can please share some music. And I'll take it from there. For some reason, my software stopped recording. But Brother Joe's recording, so that's good. I've never seen that happen before. So, but anyway, we'll see you. It's 2:05 now, so we'll see you at 2:20. Okay. And hope and pray you stick around.
Thank you. And we all
Okay, what's the question? Someone said that Sister Marie had a question before we. Oh, we can do. Is it vital for today's sermon or communion service or what? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good idea, Brother Mel. Good idea. All right. If you have anything, let's see. Because a lot of people think anybody could take communion, but you got to understand, first of all, I'm just wondering if not taking communion until baptized by the next church is that against rule against church rule. Just wondering. You got to be baptized into the faith. You got to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Obviously, you got to be done full immersion. I know many people. I think there's something in Spirit of Prophecy in regards to being rebaptized if you've come out of the church that's in apostasy, like if you've been in an apostate church, like a Sunday-keeping church or a Seventh-day Adventist church, for that matter, to be honest with you. But if it was in an apostate church, I've never done a study completely in that respect, but I do believe that Spirit of Prophecy does say there's a rebaptism is necessary. I got rebaptized only because I felt it was the right thing to do many, many years ago, my wife and I. Because when we left the Catholic Church many years later, we got baptized into a full immersion into a church and a Sunday keeping church. And years later, we found out the truth about the Sabbath, and then the Holy Spirit moved us to get rebaptized. And so we did. And but you have to be baptized in order to partake of the communion. You have to have confessed and repented of all sin, known sin, obviously. If you have anything against your brother or your sister and have not rectified it or taken care of it, you can't be, because the Bible says to leave your gift at the altar and then go reconcile with your brethren, and then you'll be worthy to get baptism. I usually used to have these, you see, when I did the when we would do the communion services before, we used to have, it would take 45 minutes just for me reading all the scriptures and stuff like that. Baptized as a baby, but chose to do it again anyway. It depends on where you were baptized and where you were in your walk, Sister Marie. It has to be full immersion. Being baptized as a baby cannot. She knows that. That's why she got rebaptized. And babies being baptized aren't really getting baptized. They're just getting wet. And that's why the Vatican took Acts chapter 8, verse 37 out of the Bible, out of their Bibles, because Philip tells the eunuch, because the eunuch says, oh, here's water. What's stopping me from getting baptized? And in today's language, Philip more or less says nothing if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and repented of your sins. And he says, yes, I have, and all this other stuff. And a baby can't profess faith in Christ, nor can a baby confess their sins. And so they took the verse out of the Bible. It's just like with the people with the creed about Jesus not being God. They take out 1 John 5:7 and say it's got to be taken out. Why? Because it goes against their creed. Just like Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 said. They're going to read the Bible the way they want to read it. They're going to walk the way they want to walk. And, you know, that's just the way it is. So, okay, then, yeah, if you want to get baptized again, definitely get baptized again. And so it's not one of the easiest things to do in this church because we're online mostly, you know, 99% of the time. But we do have camp meetings from time to time. And sometimes, the last camp meeting, no one got baptized, but usually we do have some baptisms. And we usually prefer, I mean, we've done it in public pools and stuff like that, yeah. But I prefer the pond, doing it in the pond and stuff like that, or a creek or something. And as long as it's enough water to get you under the water, you know, so, but yeah, so that's more or less the basic reality of, I assumed everybody here was already aware in regards to baptism. I didn't take into consideration the people on the stream because we discussed this last time 3 months ago on the stream. It's not so much defining the word as being unworthy. The unworthy aspect comes into play when, like open sin, like people that will... Like, take for example, smoking. The person knows what they're doing is wrong, and they refuse to, or they are unable to overcome, let's say, which they're actually refusing to overcome, because you can. You can overcome. I smoked. Jesus will help you. And but yeah. I'm not going to read the Spirit of Prophecy during church until the Lord gives me the okay. And so, but let me... I think I've got some old studies here that we used to do in regards to the communion, and let's see if it's fine. Some of these verses. Nope, this one here is I've already shortened it. Took out all my notes on that one. So let me just check this other one real quick. I didn't think there'd be a lot of questions. This one here, I would more or less break down the reason for the foot washing and all that. But and back then, this was years ago, we used to use Desire of Ages and all that stuff. We didn't know that it says not to use her writings during church services. And she never wrote Desire of Ages, so... But let me find that one verse that I think Brother Scotty here put up there in regards to the unworthily thing. which will probably more or less, because I think, isn't that the one where, you know, leave your gift at the altar thing? I'm not sure. But you definitely have to be baptized. I know that because baptism is an open profession of faith. And so, oh yeah, then it is. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So let me just read that and then we'll go into verses 23 and 26. Let's see. Yeah, because that starts beforehand. But I'm going to read verse... I'm going to start at verse 26. The other one is ending at verse 26. And it says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." In other words, you're acknowledging what he did for us on Calvary. And that's why baptism is so important. If you think about it, it's not a salvation issue. Like if you're on your deathbed, you obviously can't get baptized, and that's why Jesus was baptized in proxy for us. But the Mormons take that one step further and say, "Oh, if that's the case, I can get baptized for my dead grandpa who was a gunslinger." No, it doesn't work that way. And so, but when you go under the water, you acknowledge his death. When you come out of the water, you acknowledge his resurrection. Hence the reason for baptism. Is that's why this is brought up here in verse 6. You do show the Lord's death till he come. You know, the going under the water, coming out of the water. Verse 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." You know, they went to their graves. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." All right, let me just look at the unworldly, see what the kind of the notes I have on this one here. All right. Let's see. Crazy to eat and drink in this. No, temporal judgments, various kinds. Common food. Yeah. See that. Yeah, they were doing. They were also having their dinners and stuff like that, and they were having a communion in the wrong way. They're just pigging out. That's part of that there in regards to that. But I'm looking for the one that. Yeah, because that starts off there, and I think it's in verse 20-something. It says, you know, you have places to eat at home. Eat at home kind of a thing is what he was saying. Because I can't see the chat room right now. Leave the gift at the altar. Because I think that's where the questions are arising here. Some people are... I'll just put gift, altar, and brother. And, yeah, it's Matthew 5. It's Jesus talking in the, this is right in the middle. Oh, wait, no, 5, 6, 7. So it's the start of his Sermon on the Mount. It says, therefore, let me start off here a little early. So, the danger of the judgment. Okay, so I'm going to start off at verse 22 in Matthew chapter 5, if you have your Bibles. Matthew 5, verse 22 says, "But and this is Jesus speaking. This is he's starting the Sermon on the Mount thing. Well, he's already well into it. He's 22 verses into it. So anyway, he says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." I can't believe that. I have gotten emails from Seventh-day Adventists calling me a fool. They don't even catch how dangerous that is. But the next verse says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and come, and then offer thy gift." And in Spirit of Prophecy, it goes into a little bit of detail in this regards as to connecting this with communion as well. And then he goes on to, you know, agree with your adversary and stuff like that quickly, kind of a thing. So, but anyway, just do... what we ordinarily do here, and this is why a lot of us and I declare unto the church family: if I've sinned against any of you, or have spoken ill against any of you, or have offended you in any way, please forgive me, because I don't want to come here with aught against my brother, even though I have nothing against my brothers and sisters in the faith. And so, and I don't think they have anything against me. And I, you know, and that's why, you know, like you saw on the West Coast, we do this, especially at camp meetings where we're going to have communion. We go around and we ask each other, you know, if I have offended you, please forgive me, kind of a thing. We always make sure. And like today, I asked some of my loved ones here, you know, that because I thought I had said something that I shouldn't have said, and so I mentioned something to someone. Let's just put it that way. I'm not going to go into any details, and so everything's okay there. And so, anyway. Oh, I don't even have my bread and my grape juice or wine. Yeah, I want to say wine because that's what the Bible calls it. Because in the Bible, new wine is called wine, and fermented wine is called wine. You know, but we do not drink alcoholic beverages because the Lord instructed his prophets don't even drink alcoholic beverages. And Jesus said he won't even touch the fruit of the vine till he drink it anew with us in the kingdom, remember? And so, but we're going to pray here in a minute in regards to asking the Lord to bless us as we're about to eat. But can somebody bring me a little tiny, very small piece of the bread and a very, very small bit of grape juice? Because I got to speak afterwards and all that. You don't need to have a big old mess of it, you know. So, and look at that, I even started my note. Oh, Brother Gorin has a question. That's weight. The bread.
Took half of it off.
Yeah, I'm going to take even more off. Yeah. No, it's okay. I'll just, here. This is about all I'll eat right there, a little piece there. I'll nibble on that later. That's okay. Oh, and by the way, I just got word from a sister in the faith. She asked me this question today. Now, how many of you, I'll answer Gorin's question here in a minute, but how many of you that left the Seventh-day Adventist Church that after you were done with communion, did your pastor bury the remaining communion bread and wine? Show of hands, how many of you have seen that? Nobody here? Anybody on the stream? Let me just get this monitor to come a little closer to me here so I can kind of see the stream. Tracy, yeah, I know. Yeah, that's the sister I was talking about. Sister Tracy saw that happen. What was the name of that church again, Tracy, that did that? So that everybody hears this. This is a Seventh-day Adventist church that did this. I don't know if she can, if she puts it in the room, maybe she'll do that. She's on the stream, so no one. Gulf Haven. Wow, that sounds like one of those mystical names that you see, like with the elves and the pointy ear people. So, the Gulf Haven SDA Church. So, anyway, putting the cover back on the bread after buddy. Yeah, it's no big deal. Yeah, you don't want it to get hard. We eat it, our dogs love it. You know, it's great because we always, the recipe that we have on the website in regards to communion bread makes a big lump. And it's excellent bread. It's unleavened. It's really, you know, it's nice for, you know, with a meal maybe. But the pagans of old and the Roman Catholics, see, I used to be a Eucharistic minister for the Catholic Church before I left. And I taught doctrine and all that, falderal, but and the Eucharistic minister, what you do is you either hand out the host, you say, you know, body of Christ, and they got to say amen, and then you stick it on their tongue, or put it in their hand, because they started allowing it to be put in the hand in the 80s, I believe, because you were transferring cold sore to cold sore to cold sore, you know, just giving everybody in the whole place cold sores, because there's really no sanctification of that bread. It's all demonic. And after the services, the priest used to tell, I says, well, what do I do with all this extra wine? Because sometimes I would hold the wine. And it was alcohol. Oh, it was brandy, actually. And he goes, well, down it, drink it. You know, and so I would just drink it. I would down it. And I said, well, what about the bread, the hosts? And especially if you drop one, they have a big old ritual if you dropped one. Oh, you got to bless it and bow to it and kiss it and then pick it up. And then in the back room where the priest would dress, they would always have these, the buildings are always expensive. Like my wife is telling me in St. Rita, where she grew up, she went to a St. Rita Catholic school. In the back, they had a marble floor with a round lid, kind of like a sewer lid, with a hook or like a ring on it. And you pick it up, and there was dirt underneath because it went right straight to the world. And in Sacred Heart Church, where I was doing all that work for the church before I became a real Christian, there was a little square tile, and these tiles were a little thicker than bricks. And so this church had a, in that back room was a little lower than the others, so that back room actually touched the earth. The only difference, the only span between you and the earth in that back room was the thickness of the bricks. And so I asked him about the ring, because I never saw it before. My wife saw it when she was a kid, but I never saw it because I never went into that back room. I was never an altar boy. And so he says, pick it up. And I guess I pick it up, and he says, that's where you dump the wine, or you dump the, because that's sacred land, that's sacred soil. We bless that. And I thought, okay, that's, you know, because I was a Catholic, I thought that was normal, but that's what pagans do. And so, but now it turns the Seventh-day Adventist Church is doing that too now. And I've got documentation on SDAApostolate.org that the Seventh-day Adventist Church calls their communion the Eucharist. And the Eucharist is a pagan term meaning the body and blood of their God inside that bread, like a hot cross bun thing that they used to offer to the Queen of Heaven. But this is a Eucharist offered down to God. And so it's extremely demonic, and now the Seventh-day Adventist Church is doing it too. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. But what was Gorin's question before we actually do a take of the communion here? Because I don't want to be dragging this out. Was that his question, putting the cover back on the bread? That's no big, yeah, that's okay. You know, it's like putting it in a bread basket. That wasn't his question. Oh, there's, yeah, no, yeah, good question. Thanks, Brother Eli. Gorin says, what if we have something against worldly atheists? Do what thou wilt kind of people, you know, like the, that's actually a Satanist. A do what thou wilt. Wilt is an Aleister Crowley kind of a Satanist. The only thing I would have against them is, I mean, I love them enough to tell them the truth, but I wouldn't walk with them. I wouldn't know what your definition is having against them, but they're not your brethren, so I wouldn't be concerned with that. But like if they've stolen from you or ripped you off or something like that, the statement in regards to if your brother have aught against you, it's not so much you having aught against your brother, because that too applies. If you have something against your brother and you shouldn't, you got to make it right. But if your brother has something against you and you've done something wrong, you got that right too. So, but yeah, amen, Sister Mindy, love your enemies, you know. Yeah. Thanks, Brother Lewis. And so hopefully I answered that. So anyway, if you have your Bibles open, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm gonna read verses 28, 27, and 29, you know, because of the way it's worded. It says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And let me stop there. And this is why we always announce communion 2 weeks in advance, sometimes more. But usually 1 to 2 weeks in advance will alert some of the brethren in the church, remind me, and I thank you so much for that, doing that. Sisters and brothers do this on a regular basis, letting me know, oh, it's only 3 or 4 weeks away from communion, so I start mentioning. So it's kind of like having your little mini Day of Atonement thing. It's not really the Day of Atonement. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm not doing that. We're not doing no feast day thing. But this actually replaces the feast days. And so what we do is we make sure that we are as close to Christ as we can get. Repent as much as you can repent. Confess all that you can. Make things right with your brothers and sisters. And so, in other words, examine yourself. Like just, you know, take stock in yourself. You know, like, sit down and do I really, really, really believe this? And do I really, really want to walk with the Lord? And, you know, and have I really confessed and repented? Do I really not want to do this? You know, examine yourself, like he says here. And going on, it says, for whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, or to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, or not caring about the Lord's body, like what he did on Calvary, no big deal. And that's what people do, and they don't realize it. That's what, you know, like the Catholics, but they, again, the Lord's going to wink at their times of ignorance. We're going to be surprised at how many Catholics we're going to see in heaven. because there's a lot of genuine people in there that truly do love the Lord and think that all those pagan rituals are sanctioned by Him because they weren't told otherwise. When you are told otherwise, and then the Lord looks at your heart and He knows that you now understood. That's how the mark of the beast is going to be easily, placed on people and not placed on people, just by the way that the Lord knows that person really didn't understand when you told them that the mark is Sunday, Sabbath. And if they decide to keep Sunday holy anyway because they're fearful of getting themselves killed or losing their jobs, they can't buy and sell, they made a conscious decision, and then it's too late for them, that kind of a thing. But anyway, let's jump up a few verses now, and then we're going to get ready. So get your bread here, please. Right before we eat, we're gonna give thanks. We're gonna get on our knees, and we're gonna do that, but only the one time. Okay. So chapter 11, verses 23 to 26 says this: For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. In other words, Paul's talking about the Last Supper here. So this is what he received of the Lord. This is instructions he was given by Jesus to give to us. All right? And when he had given thanks, because that's what we're going to do in a moment, he broke it, the bread, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So please get on your knees. Just for a moment, we're going to ask the Lord to please bless this bread. Not in a Eucharistic form of way, though. No, it's just we're here to acknowledge His death and resurrection till He come, right? So please get on your knees. Heavenly Father, we thank You so very, very much, first of all, for always reminding us every 3 months to do this. It's amazing how Your Holy Spirit runs through Your people and just lets them know, let each other know that we got to be ready. We got to get prepared for this day. And thank You for blessing this day. And thank You for all the brethren right now on the West Coast that are actually able to do this face to face. We do this every 3 months anyway, Father. And we're here together in spirit. But to be there face to face, it is a real blessing. And so thank You for being there with them, especially with all of us, always like You always are. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit moving wherever we are, because some of us were going to be in dungeons soon. And so thank You for blessing this bread and blessing our faith to where we do acknowledge what Your Son has done for us. We do acknowledge that His flesh was broken, whipped and beaten and pierced, and just so that we don't have to go through all that. And so that we can have eternal life. And so thank You for blessing us with an understanding of that. And please bless this bread and this grape juice that You have given us. You have supplied all of this. You have not only supplied the bread and the ingredients, or the grape juice and its ingredients, You have supplied the faith as well as the truth that brings us into salvation and the joy of our salvation. And so we thank You so much for that. And we offer this prayer, Father, to the best of our ability, always falls far short of the name we pray in. And that name is Your Son, our Savior, our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so with that, please eat the bread. Don't drink the wine yet, though. Please eat the bread. Okay, continuing in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So that's why we drink of this cup. So going on, it says, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So this is what we do now, not the feast days, because that ended at the cross. And then he says, For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So we're acknowledging what he did for us. We just acknowledge his body was broken by eating that bread. And now we're acknowledging his blood was spilled by spilling this grape juice into our mouths and drinking it. And we're doing this all the way up until that eastern sky splits till he come. So with that, let's please drink the grape juice. And with that, the service is ended. If we have some beautiful music, that would be great, and we'll finish in prayer afterwards. Songs. That was pretty neat. Praise the Lord. Brother Joe, don't forget, please send me that recording just for the church service. I got the study hour, but I messed up the recording for the church service. So thanks, bro. And, of course, the 5 o'clock later on. And for those of you listening on the radio, please stick around for the 5 o'clock. I think it's, I don't know. We got to do a 5 o'clock because Sean's out there on the West Coast. But, well, maybe, I don't know. We'll figure that out in a minute here. But if you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Oh, wow. Kneel down right on the edge of that wood. Okay, please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for joining us again on this Sabbath day. for being with us when we gather like this, and especially for this communion service. Thank you so much for that. Thank you also, Father God, for blessing us with the way we do this. It's always different every time we do this. There's no right, no wrong way to do it. We just do it, and thank you for blessing us, because we can only do how we know how to do things, and so thank you for blessing us as we do this. And thank you for blessing the remainder of this Sabbath day and giving us a good week ahead so that we can come again together next week and do that which you would have us do. Thank you for blessing everybody on our prayer list, everyone that was in attendance today. And Father, those that didn't come because of whatever reason, you know, for, you know, whatever the case may be, please bless them in this week and let them get to that place where everything's okay between you and them. And bless us too, Father. Well, we all have our issues. We all have our problems. And thank you for your long suffering towards us. And please bless everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And we offer this prayer to you once again in the hopes that the latter rain falls upon us and we can go forth and glorify you like no other. But at the same time, we hope and pray that you accept all our prayers in the name of your precious Son, who is forever our King and our Savior. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.